This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. School nurses are at the front of the front lines as schools reopen in the era of COVID-19. Nurses will make the call on whether students who come to them with a runny nose or headache have to be sent home and quarantined or can be sent back to the classroom. They'll make sure kids and teachers who test positive for the coronavirus stay home for 10 days and don't come back until they have no fever. Most of the guidelines come from the state. Schools and districts can add protocols of their own. We caught up with some school nurses to find out if they're prepared to return to school in this unprecedented time.
I feel ready overall.
When we spoke with Judy Duart last week, she was prepping her nurse's office at a public middle school in Plymouth, the Plymouth Community Intermediate School. She'd already set up much of the area where students who feel sick will be temporarily isolated.
Which we will call the medical waiting room. It has two cots spaced 6 feet apart. But we're trying to figure out how to create some type of partition to kind of separate that from the rest of the office. And there's one school carpenter and many schools. So we're just trying to get creative on how we can make that work. But other than that, I feel as though that the classrooms are ready. We've had so many mandatory trainings around COVID that I feel we are ready for the students to come.
So let's talk about, you mentioned the isolation room. This has to do with actual protocol and infrastructure in the school and the district itself. As you said, there are many schools. What to do if somebody comes to you with symptoms that could potentially be COVID-19. Are you clear, first of all, on what the state and the town of Plymouth would want you to do?
Yes, I'm very clear with that. And it depends what those symptoms would be, because some of those symptoms, let's say like a fever or a cough, you just really need one of those symptoms. But there are other symptoms, such as like a headache or nausea. You would need to have two of those symptoms to really qualify for potential for dismissal. If we felt the child had COVID-like symptoms and we were dismissing them for that reason, we would recommend that the child be seen by their primary care provider and receive a test.
Duart says her confidence that schools in Plymouth can reopen safely comes partly from her experience working in a pediatric clinic over the summertime.
I tested many, many patients, and none of them were positive. There were children who had started to go to daycare and camps and had been with other groups of children. They did present with some symptoms, but seeing that they were negative in their test results makes me feel more comfortable about returning to school.
Plymouth schools reopened today in a hybrid model. That means students alternate coming into school and learning from home. Duart stresses that concerned parents could opt for fully remote learning. Based on Plymouth's average daily COVID-19 cases, the state currently labels the town low risk. 40 miles north, Boston remains at a moderate risk. Jonathan Haynes is not confident the city schools can reopen safely under the current guidelines. Haynes is the nurse at McKinley Middle School in the Fenway. Kids will start returning October 1st. McKinley is a therapeutic public school. The students have psychological issues and histories of trauma. Haynes says the school building is not in any condition to meet the current challenge. It was constructed just after the flu pandemic a century ago.
It was 1923 when our building was built, and it hasn't been many upgrades since then. There's no HVAC system. I'm very concerned that the air quality in my building is not going to be sufficient to keep everyone safe and to stop the spread of the disease when students are back in the building and staff are back in the building.
Boston Public Schools tell us they're addressing the issue of air circulation in all schools. The department gave us a statement saying it's, quote, focused on ensuring at least one window per classroom is able to open for proper ventilation. Nurse Jonathan Haynes says the health of his students with special emotional and behavioral needs is at the top of his mind, but he's worried about the ripple effects, too.
Because it's also the health of their families and their communities. So as soon as schools open, we'll have a mixing of neighborhoods. We'll have a lot more people out and about. I mean, so far the district has only really, the only narrative they've talked about is the community spread safe in order to reopen schools. But what they haven't talked about is once you reopen schools, will that be a factor in increasing the community spread?
Of course, we know that there will be or is supposed to be social distancing in effect and everyone wearing masks. Do you not trust that will be sufficient?
will the students I work with have a hard time sitting in the at their desk at all. And usually they need a lot of support, paraprofessionals that are sitting up close to them. And we have a lot of situations where students get agitated and need physical interventions to help them to move out of the classroom. And that involves being very up close with them. And I don't think that we've thought through really all the ramifications of how best to do that.
Haynes predicts many students at his school will have trouble wearing masks for an extended period, and he wishes there was a plan in place to test staff and students for the coronavirus before school starts. Meanwhile, in Medford, school nurse Karen Roberto doesn't have to show up at the Columbus Elementary School for a while. The city isn't allowing any student inside a classroom yet. She's glad.
I think that the remote was definitely the better decision.
Roberto says she's concerned about new cases of the virus that are popping up in the city. She helped with coronavirus contact tracing in Medford in the spring and summer. She did the same thing long ago during outbreaks of whooping cough and chickenpox, and she's ready to start the tracing this time around if a student gets the virus.
We have letters already prepared, so we would send the letters and also we would call the parents and let them know that there has been a COVID positive case in their child's classroom and what they need to do, which would be, you know, quarantine for 14 days. So they would have remote learning at that time.
State guidelines say only students and teachers who've been within 6 feet of someone with a virus for at least 10 to 15 minutes have to be notified. If desks are 6 feet apart and kids stay 6 feet apart, the school doesn't have to contact anyone. But Roberto says when her school eventually reopens, she'll take an even more cautious approach with her elementary students who tend to move around a lot.
They're going out to play also in the playground. So you don't know which child is playing with the other. So I would consider everybody in that classroom to be a close contact. And I would think the parents would want to know that too. You know, being really transparent with the parents so that we can just stop this virus, like working together so that all the kids can get back and that nobody ends up getting sick.
She worries about the youngest children who may be upset about being away from their parents. In this strange new world, she won't be able to comfort them up close without being covered in a mask and gown.